blockchain has moved beyond its origin in cryptocurrency and is now reshaping multiple sectors, including finance, education, and more. The potential of this technology is being realized globally, and India is no exception. In fact, India has emerged as a hub for blockchain innovation with its unique ecosystem of entrepreneurs, developers, and policymakers. Welcome everyone to another episode of Analytics Insight podcast, where we delve into the latest innovations in technology, finance, and education. And I'm your host, Priya Dialani. In today's episode, we will dive into the evolving landscape of blockchain in India. So sit back and let's unpack the future of blockchain technology in India with Avinash Shekhar, co-founder and CEO of Pi42. Hi Avinash, how are you doing?
Good, Priya. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good too. Thank you for coming on this podcast today. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. And while we'll be talking more about blockchain and its impact in the overall ecosystem of India, let's talk more about Pi42. Very interesting name, a very unique name. So if you could help us understand more about the organization, its particular specialization.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Priya. First of all, thanks for inviting me here. My name is Avinash. I'm a chartered accountant. I started actually my first introduction to crypto ecosystem was in 2017 when I joined an exchange, crypto exchange in India for as a CFO. Okay. As far as Pi42 is concerned, so what we offer or what we enable customer is to basically buy or sell crypto in derivatives. Okay, and why derivatives, we'll go into that in a little bit. So basically on our platform, you can buy or you can go long or short on let's say Bitcoin using INR. So for example, if you can deposit INR on our platform, go long on BTC or go short on Ethereum, and whatever is your profit or loss, you can take it on your bank account. Why derivatives? There's actually two things. One is that I think crypto ecosystems has evolved over a period of time. The last good run was more about spot, but I think now the ecosystem has matured enough to move towards derivatives. So that is one. And second is that spot and derivatives are taxed differently in India. So for example, on spot, you have 1% TDS and set-off of losses are not allowed. But in case of derivatives, the TDS is not there and set-off of losses are also allowed. So in a way, the thought process was that derivatives will help Indian ecosystem or Indian customers to participate in the next crypto bull run. So that's a brief about what we are doing at Pi42.
Great, quite insightful, Avinash. Thank you for sharing that. And of course, we'll be knowing more about its impact and the changing evolution of blockchain and certain things that you mentioned. We would also like to know more about you, Avinash. Like you said, you're a chartered accountant and you have around 26 years of experience in crypto, telecom, e-commerce, and you have also held leadership position in very prominent companies like Airtel, Urban Ladder, and Zepay. So if you can tell us more about yourself, how has your journey been till date, and you know, your contribution towards the company?
So basically, as I said, I'm chartered accountant, qualified in 2000. Okay. I started my career with telecom. And mostly I have been into industries which are like new and upcoming. Started telecom. Telecom was just like coming up at that point of time. Then e-commerce, retail. Crypto, I joined in 2017 as a CFO. I joined as a CFO in Zepay, which was the largest crypto exchange in India at that point of time. And a very, very exciting journey in Zepay. I joined as CFO, became ultimately CEO of the company, ran the company for 2 years, more than 2 years actually, after the RBI ban, which was lifted in March 2020. Okay. Or this year, actually, I started working last year, but we launched in February 2024, Pi42.com. Okay. And again, it's a crypto exchange. In terms of my participation, so I hold over of operations, finance, operations, customer support, technology part, product part. So all those functions report to me. I think what we have built is a very, very unique product as far as derivatives are concerned, which I believe is helping Indian customers a lot in terms of participating in this market in a tax efficient manner.
True. Thank you for sharing your journey. Seems a very interesting and impressive journey, Avinash. Now, to kick things off, now let's first get an understanding of the blockchain's journey in India. Now, India, with its growing tech scene and a massive population eager for digital solution, has become a very fertile ground for blockchain adoption. Now, what began primarily as a focus on cryptocurrencies, it has now evolved into broader exploration of blockchain's application across various industries. So we want to understand from you, how is the usage of blockchain in India? If you could help us understand the evolution from where it started and, you know, what is the current scenario right now?
Yeah. So I think, as you said, they started with currency, or like people like to call it currency, which is actually not a currency, but crypto, basically, like Bitcoin and Ether. Okay. Most of the use case for a very, very long time was trading in crypto, basically. And that became the basis of the adoption. But what we have seen in recent time is that now we are actually migrating and progressing in other ways, other areas, basically, where the entrepreneurs are trying to solve the real world problem in terms of finance, in terms of lending, for example, in terms of education, for example. Okay, but what is happening is that these use cases, or these real world use cases, because the regulatory environment in India is still not friendly, so to say, okay, the adoption or the proliferation is not so much as it can be, basically. People or the Indian entrepreneurs, what they are doing is that they are sometimes moving out of India and innovating from outside India rather than from India. Okay. So Indians are innovating. Indians are working a lot on the blockchain space, but many times, or a large number of cases which I have seen, is that they are going out of India and working on it rather than remaining in India and working on it.
Right. I think that makes very much sense, and it helps us understand the growth of blockchain, particularly in India. Having said that, I think, you know, we mentioned about blockchain being as one of the kickstarters in the cryptocurrency space. And of course, it's also making more waves in the financial sector, because the need for more secure, faster and cost-effective transactions has led banks and even financial institutions to experiment with blockchain and enhance their processes. Now, whether it's cross-border payments or real-time settlements, blockchain's ability to ensure accuracy and transparency has captured the attention of both private and public entities. So I think blockchain also isn't just confined to finance. It's also making strides in other sectors like digital payments and lendings, and even education for that matter. So I think that there's like the sectors that require more trust and security are kind of looking forward to blockchain to enhance their operational efficiency. So we want to understand from you, how can blockchain be used for various other things, like I mentioned, education and payments, and if you can highlight with some, you know, real world examples.
Yeah. So basically, what we have to distinguish between is like a private blockchain and a public blockchain. And the definition why I use is obviously different from what the government use. Public blockchain basically means is that anyone can access it transparently. Okay. It is publicly auditable, so to say. Okay. And there are like private blockchains where the banks can use it privately to interact with each other. Both have their own advantages and disadvantages. Okay. Ultimately, if you look at on the finance and the payment space, as you pointed out, that what blockchain is helping is that A, the transaction becomes much more auditable, so to say, and final, basically, which from a finance point of view is very, very important. We have seen in the past, there are some bank frauds related to, for example, even Shift. In one of the Indian bank, we saw that. Okay. Which, if you are using blockchain, and specifically auditable blockchain, which a large number of people can see and audit, and it is transparent. Those kind of frauds can be avoided. It can be more transparent. The finality of the transaction can be achieved very, very quickly, okay, which makes the entire financial system more secure and more fast, basically. I mean, as of now, I think it's being used only in limited areas, for example, like maybe payments, lending, but I think the use case is endless. For example, you can use it in, let's say, insurance, or you can use it in claim settlements, for example. Okay, you can use it, let's say, for land records, or like transfer of ownership of anything, any real world assets. Okay, so what I think we or the ecosystem right now is building is a secure infrastructure. On that infrastructure, you can basically run any financial transaction or any financial record, which is auditable, which is like transparent, which combines, I think, the privacy and the auditability in a very, very secure way, so to say. So that is one part to it. More use cases will come, I think. But right now, it's the infrastructure layer. The second part you said about the education, basically. Again, what is happening is that there are large number of people who are participating in developing blockchain ecosystem. And unlike other technology areas, I think this is one area where the collaboration is the first thing. I mean, everyone collaborates with everyone else, okay? Most of the blockchain projects, if you look at their public projects, you can literally look at the projects and learn from them, build on them. Okay, if you're a student doing engineering or computer science, you can actually go and study the code. You can go and study the code of Ethereum, code of Ethereum. You can go and study the Polygon source code, which if you look at few years back, I mean, you can't go and study the source code of, let's say, Facebook or Google, okay? But in crypto, most of the things which are, or the in the blockchain, most of the things are which are being worked on are collaborated and public in public space, which actually does two things. One is that as an individual, if you're trying to understand, if you're trying to make a career out of blockchain, your journey becomes very fast because you have like almost unlimited resources available to you, okay? And second is that you're building on something else. Like, you're not doing anything from scratch, okay? There is already a system. You're innovating on top of that system, okay? Which makes the growth of the ecosystem very, very fast, which makes developing new products or new infrastructure or new services very, very fast, okay? So I think to that extent, as far as education is concerned, blockchain is, I think, one of the most innovative technology, because before that, it was almost impossible to learn from others, so to say, in terms of what they've already developed, because everything was private, so to say. So I think there also it's making a very, very big impact on the education.
Right. I think that's really insightful. Thank you for that, Avinash. And it's quite fascinating to see how blockchain's decentralized nature is making such a significant impact on different industries like payments and education sector. In the start, I think you mentioned about, you know, a crypto derivative exchange. So let's touch on one of the most intriguing developments in the entire blockchain space. I think India's crypto landscape has had its fair share of ups and downs. And, you know, from regulatory uncertainty to surging investor interest, the entire crypto ecosystem has been very complex. Now, with the growing adoption of cryptocurrencies, the need for more sophisticated financial instruments like crypto derivatives has become very clear. So can you highlight on the significance of a crypto derivative exchange in India? Why do we really need a robust crypto derivative exchange in India?
Yeah. So Priya, basically thing is that if you look at any financial system or any system where you do trading, Derivatives is the natural next step, whether it is stock, commodities, and now crypto. Okay, as I said, that last bull cycle was more all about spot trading. Okay, now I think the ecosystem has become much more mature in India and globally. And typically, if you look at the volumes in the futures or the derivative segment, is typically like 10 to 20 times of what you have in spot. Okay. More and more people are understanding derivatives. And derivatives also play a very, very important role in terms of price discovery. Basically, because in spot, for example, you can't go short. Okay. In derivatives, you can go short and long both. So it basically has a very big impact on price discovery. As far as India is concerned, what has happened is that because of the regulatory environment, before coming to regulatory environment, actually, if you see that you'll pick up any report, for example, there are various reports on the adoption of crypto. And India comes among the top one or two or three countries where the adoption of crypto is very, very high. And this is in spite of the adverse regulatory environment which we have, in spite of the fact that the tax regime is very, very strict. And in this environment, I think if you look at crypto derivatives, okay, it gives some relief, so to say, as far as taxation is concerned. As I think mentioned earlier that in crypto derivative in spot 2 years back government introduced 1% TDS. That means any transaction which you do, you have to basically deduct 1%, and which is in a way if you are a trader, because if again any financial markets depends on the trader for traders for price discovery. And if you're a trader, if you're doing 10 times a day, trades a day in a day, that means your 10% TDS will like get deducted. And over a period of 1 or 2 weeks, basically, your entire capital is blocked. Okay. And second is that setup of losses are not allowed in spot. So, for example, if you make a profit of, let's say, $100 in BTC, and you make a loss of, let's say, $80 in Ethereum, you still have to pay flat 30% tax on the entire $100. Normally, your loss is allowed to be deducted and you should be paying tax 30% tax only on $20, which is, let's say, $6. But in this scenario, crypto spots, you have to pay 30% tax on the entire $100. Now, as far as derivatives are concerned, these two things are not applicable. So it's more like normal, any normal trading you are doing, any normal business transaction you are doing, where you can set off the losses, there is no TDS. So to that extent, it is much more tax efficient and it gives Indian customer, I think, the only way or the mostly the only way to participate in the bull run, basically. Because if you are going to a spot, you have a higher tax burden. At the same time, the derivative products which we have introduced in India, there are two other advantages. One is that you don't need to go for, let's say, 25x or 20x or 50x leverage. You can still go for 2x leverage to reduce your risk. Okay, so you don't need to, like, it's not that it is you go for 100x leverage and take a significant amount of risk. It depends on your risk appetite individually. And secondly, you can still hold it for a long term, because what we have is something called perpetual futures, which is different from stock futures. If you understand stock, basically there is an expiry. There is an expiry in October, there is an expiry in November, there is an expiry in December. Okay. In crypto, we have something like perpetual futures, which doesn't expire at any point of time. So you can keep it for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, any point of time. Okay, so that, I think, as I said, that helps the customers to participate in the market. Another point is that what Pi 42 has is the INR futures. So for example, you don't, let's say you have your bank account, you can transfer money from your bank account in INR. You don't need to really, really buy crypto or USDT or stablecoin. You can actually go long or short using your INR, and your profit or loss will be in your INR, which you can take it back. So it, in terms of understanding the product, in terms of easiness of the product, it's very, very easy. So I believe derivatives is playing a very, very important role right now, crypto derivatives in India. And I think it will continue to play a very important role.
Well, yes, I think after that explanation, it definitely makes sense and highlights the significance of a crypto derivative exchange in India. So I think that's a very critical development. And, you know, I think as crypto adoption continues to grow, derivatives will definitely play a role in managing risk and providing investors with new ways to engage with the market. Likewise, I think in India, you know, where the traditional financial markets like commodities and stocks have long embraced derivatives trading, it only made sense to extend this model to the rapidly growing crypto market. Now, the introduction of a crypto derivative exchange provides more investment options and, of course, open doors for both retail and institutional investors to engage with crypto assets in a very nuanced way. However, the stance on cryptocurrency remains cautious, but is also open to exploration. For example, the government is working on a regulatory framework to ensure that cryptocurrencies are managed responsibly while balancing the need for innovation. India's central bank, the RBI, of course, have expressed concerns around the cryptocurrency's risks because they're particularly related to the financial stability and fraud. However, this hasn't demotivated the enthusiasm of blockchain and crypto entrepreneurs, on the other hand. So we want to understand from you, Avinash, how do you see or view the regulatory landscape of India?
On the regulation side, I think what we have seen in the past for any new industry, whether in telecom, internet, regulation always comes after the innovation, which is understandable because people who are innovating, they are faster. Many times they fail, many times they succeed, And typically, once the industry has reached a particular mass or particular maturity, then only the regulation comes, which is happening in crypto. My belief is that governments worldwide are working on crypto regulations. There are many places, many countries who have already placed regulations in place. My understanding is that Indian government is also working on some kind of regulations on crypto. Although we like it to be like faster, but I think we are moving overall in the right direction in terms of regulation. My belief is that maybe next 1.5-2 years time, we should see comprehensive crypto regulations in India, which will take care of not only, like, as I said, that encouraging innovations, but at the same time discouraging bad players to come and do anything wrong. Some of this we have already seen. For example, crypto exchanges are now reporting entities under Prevention of Money Laundering Act. Most of the Indian exchanges, including Pi42, are registered with the Financial Intelligence Unit of Government of India, where we are obligated to do certain compliances, report if there is any suspicious transactions, basically. I think that what the government is doing is to bring regulations slowly in one field at a time, so that the immediate concerns are taken care of. So now we have two main areas where, on the income tax side, where the government has put in specific regulations in place, and on the reporting of suspicious transactions, or which basically the purpose is to disable or to discourage frauds or suspicious activity. So as I said, that we are moving in the right direction. It is slow, but I think I'm really, really optimistic that 1.5-2 years down the line, we'll have a comprehensive regulations in place.
Well, definitely, I think that's what the future lies in, specifically with regards to the Indian landscape. because regulation definitely play a very important role in shaping the future of not only cryptocurrencies, but I guess the overall use of blockchain across different industries. We have briefly touched on blockchain's role in credentialing, but its potential goes far beyond that. I think we spoke about the use of blockchain in education, but I guess it can create an entirely new ecosystem for education, as it can empower more transparent, decentralized and personalized learning environments. In India specifically, where access to education is still a challenge for many, blockchain could help bridge this gap by providing secure, decentralized platform for online learning. So I want to understand from you, how do you think that blockchain is an enabler in education?
Yeah, so I think we briefly discussed about on the education side that because it is decentralized and because most of it is open source, okay, you have much more resources available already on about blockchain and decentralized networks. And another thing which we have to understand is that whatever which can be done in a centralized manner, most of it can be done in decentralized manner also. So social media, banking, finance, education, okay. If imagine a scenario where, let's say, for example, we have like centralized education platforms, okay, where if you are, let's say, an educator, you can go and teach there and all that, but you are in some way dependent on the centralized education platform, okay. Imagine a scenario that you have certain unique knowledge or you have certain unique perspective, and you go and create your own education program where there is no intermediary. You are directly interacting with the learner, okay, or the student basically, and you're directly getting paid for it. And obviously there is a decentralized system where things are rated and you know what kind of teacher or educator you are basically. So as I said, that it creates both, I think, on the demand side and on the supply side. Okay, on the supply side, you have many more people who are able to access or able to provide their insights. Okay, and on the demand side, because there are different perspective, different areas of learning which is coming up. Okay. So I think it boosts the entire ecosystem. The demand goes up, the supply also goes up, and in a way, I say that you're directly interacting directly interacting in a decentralized manner. Okay. So I think education is one area where my belief is that decentralized systems and blockchains, okay, is going to play a very, very important role. I think this entire ecosystem will become more global. Okay, education is to, I mean, even now it has global, but it's not so global kind of. If you, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, I think it's more at like 2, 3, 4. Okay, but in terms, I think this will become much more global. I mean, I think it should easily cross 7, 8 on a scale of 10 in next 5 to 10 years. Which will, I think, overall, it will, as a society, I mean, will become much more learned, or much more, what you call it, society which absorbs new things much more quickly. Okay. So that is, I think, is going to be the future.
Well, yes, definitely. And I think crypto landscape in India may still be developing, but the blockchain's broader application continue to gain traction. And it's also offering new opportunities for innovation. So having said that, one last question for you, Avinash. How do you think is the future of blockchain or cryptocurrency in Indian ecosystem?
So Indian ecosystem, I think I still remain optimistic. But I think if we have to really, really participate in the technology of the century, I believe, okay, then we have to move faster as a society in terms of giving clarity on the regulation side. Okay, because as an innovator, if I am developing something in India and I don't know what is going to happen 1 year, 2 years, 3 years down the line, then government can come up and say that what you did was not in line with the regulations or laws. Okay, so that clarity is needed sooner rather than later. And if that happens, I think India is already, or Indian citizens or Indians are already like one of the top contributors in the crypto ecosystem or in blockchain ecosystem. The only question is whether those people will innovate out of India or living in India or going out and innovating. Because what I believe is that there will be multiple, many, maybe hundreds of trillion dollars companies which will be created in next 5, 10, 20 years. And obviously, we want those companies, those infrastructures to be created in India rather than outside India.
Right. I think that's very important. And as we have explored today, I think blockchain is more than just the backbone of cryptocurrencies. It's a versatile technology with the potential to change sectors like education, payments, and of course, beyond. Now, whether it's creating secure real-time financial transactions or enabling seamless, transparent academic credentialing, I think blockchain is shaping the future of how we will operate in digital spaces. Well, thank you so much, Avinash, for joining us today. And I think we have gathered a more comprehensive view and perspective around the use of blockchain, which has been always typically been centered around cryptocurrencies. But I think we now understand that it's more and bigger than cryptocurrencies. So thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks, Priya. Thanks. Really enjoyed this discussion.
Thank you so much, Avinash. So this is for our listeners. Thank you for joining us today on Analytics Insight podcast. Be sure to tune in our next episode as we continue to explore technologies that are shaping our world. Meanwhile, you can view all our previous podcasts on Spotify and other leading platforms. Thank you so much.